Welcome into the official Guru Nation Fantasy Podcast. I got my guest today. It is my dude, Major. How we doing?
Yeah, what's up, Dalton? What's going on, man?
What's going on?
I think this might be, I might be tied for the record. I heard the other podcast and you said Mike was, what, three times?
Yeah, three times. This is number three now.
Yeah, Mike don't, I don't know why you have him on so much. He doesn't talk about shit. He don't divulge any information. He doesn't talk about anything.
He keeps a tight lip on things. I gotta say that he doesn't want to show his hand, and I respect that. I respect
the paper
that.
Champ does not divulge. That's so we don't have him on the show anymore.
Yeah, we got to make that a requirement. If you want to officially break the record and beat Major, you have to give us your secrets on who you're drafting in the draft. That's just how it is.
There it is.
That's the rule.
Perfect.
At least something. Yeah, we just need a little something, man. So. I know we're talking about, today we're going to be talking about a little bit Trinity update, talk about some of the trades that went through there, but I know, there were some things said in a recent podcast that, you feel like you have to address and want to set the record straight as far as what actually happened. So,
absolutely.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about, what's going on in your mind when you're hearing that podcast?
Okay. So, with the podcast with you and LeBarian was an awesome podcast.
Thank you.
LeBarian is a star, dude. Like,
oh, he's amazing, Wednesday, man.
I love it, bro. He's like, he's on it. So I appreciate him for that, but I gotta call BS on his, this dude act like he was in a Minority Report, like pulling draft picks and pulling like, the schedule and who's playing who. Like, he was like the man. Come on, bro. Like, I'm calling BS on that stuff. He's like talking about he planned it out like a year in advance of who's playing where. Like, come on, dude, calm down.
So you're calling LeBarian out and saying that he's not the mastermind that he portrays himself as.
Absolutely, especially the part where he said that he tricked me into playing my best players. That's the biggest pile of shit I ever heard in my life. But like, when I played him, I was on a bye. So I had five players I was on a bye, and mostly it was my quarterback, Baker, wasn't playing, and I had, like, five other people. It was a nice amount of points that I was missing. But I've always played my best team. It looked like I was tanking because my team sucked. So I've always played my best players except for one week, which was the following game when I played against I can't remember. I played LeBarian, and he played, like, none of his players. Even play someone who was on a bye. Wow. So, I don't know. Do we have any rules? Like, that's the thing that I'm trying to figure out. Is like, what's the rules on this tanking thing? Because my guy played all the garbage players he had, plus a player that was on a bye. So, to me, that, I mean, tanking is tanking, but to me, that's a whole different thing, dude.
So, he is playing players that were on bye weeks in a starting lineup.
Absolutely. Wow. And I have the receipts. I have my GM receipts for that.
Wow. LeBarian.
So after he did that, I was hot. So I played all my worst players that following week, and I lost. But what he said about, like, the game when we played each other, that kind of determined, like, who was going to get the first pick, that wasn't true, because at the last game, we had a tie record, and I actually was playing against Zach, and I'm going to call collusion. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to call collusion. I think Zach and LeBarian had something going on, because Zach was in the playoffs. He actually finished second overall.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just run it down. I wrote it down for you right here. This is the people he had on his bench. He had Philip Rivers on his bench, 35 points. Jared Cook, 24 points. Kelsey, 41 points.
Who, he benched Kelsey?
Bench Gurley, 31 points. All on the bench. And you're in the playoffs. So why? It's two reasons. One, collusion. He, you know, him and they had something going on to where I would, he would let me win. So LeBarian would have the worst record. Or two, he was trying to, like, figure out what bracket he was going to be in, like, you know, make his position better or worse or whatever he was trying to do. So those are the two reasons, but I'm leaning more towards collusion on that part, man, because there was no need for him to tank at all for the last game.
Wow, so Zach, who's in second place, is playing you. He already has the playoffs clinched. Now, like you said, there's two scenarios here. One, he's homies with LeBarian. I mean, they go way back, right? So,
yep.
I mean, they're boys. It's potential that, you know, him and LeBarian have, you know, something going on. He's trying to help out his boy LeBarian. He's trying to bench his best players. You said he benched Gurley. He benched Kelsey. He benched Jared Cook and he benched Philbers. Those are four very good players right there.
I gave you the points, man. That's over 100 points right there.
100 points right there. I mean, if you have Kelsey and Gurley, those are probably your two best players. So you're benching your two best players. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Like you said, that ended up making you win. So then you go ahead, and instead of you getting the first pick, you now have the second pick. LeBarian gets first pick. But I think this is something that I have to talk to Zach about, because I want to hear his side of the story. Was he actually trying to, you know, mess around and get the playoff seeding into his favor, or was he doing something to help out his boy LeBarian?
I mean, I should never say the playoff part, because I think that's giving him an out, but where there's smoke, bro, there's always fire, man. I'm just telling you, where there's smoke, there's always collusion.
So tell me, was this something that was ever brought up, like, when it was going down?
No, not really. I mean, I kind of mentioned, I was like, some bullshit happened, but the way I am, I don't really, like, say the names unless it's, like, something serious, but I know now. It's no passive aggressive over here. I'm just going to just say people's names. And on top of all that, when he benched all his players, my dude, Aaron Jones, went off for 27 points that week. So that made me win the game, because I've always played my best roster possible, because that's what I thought you do. I didn't know that, you know, tanking was that prevalent in Matrix, man. I didn't know that.
Wow, so this is a big revelation that really never heard this side of it. So this is really interesting.
Yeah, I would never say anything until I heard that podcast, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, what is LeBarian? Because he was talking like he was like the grand wizard of like the fantasy football. He was like the guru of all gurus. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about?
You got the receipts, man. The receipts are there.
No one never tricked me to do anything. Like, that's the craziest shit I ever heard. What are you talking about?
So tell me, do you think this is something that should be addressed next year as far as a potential rule change?
Absolutely. That's why I really like the thing that you proposed with the playoffs when we're running for Omega, with having the people not in the playoffs actually play in a tournament to determine the draft picks. I think that's a great idea. That's going to help people not tank. I think people will still tank to get into, like, the lower bracket. But after that, I think it's, you know, a fair game, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Man, dude, that's wild. That's wild stuff. A lot going on in Matrix that are behind the scenes.
Matrix is, like, that is the most, like, I'm not going to say corrupt, but it's like, if you can get away with something, bro, you're going to get away. You're going to try to get away with it. Like, everyone's trying to pill someone. I don't know if you know about the pill yet, right? Do you know about
that? Aaron Sanders, the pill master.
There you go. So
he's the doctor. He's sending out those pills to everyone.
Everyone's trying to pill someone. Everyone's trying to get over on someone. The only person that I know for sure that was, like, 100 with me the whole time in Matrix was Derek, the commish. Like, that dude is a real G when it comes to this fantasy stuff. Like, that dude hooked me up when he didn't have to, you know what I mean? So even with players and stuff like that, I tried to trade him Boyd, and he was like, no, keep Boyd because he's gonna be good and this and that, and I'll trade him someone else. I still feel bad about that, but you know.
Wow, so Derek's putting integrity over his team.
Same. I do the same thing with mine. Like, that's when I'm going to get into this AK talk. I got to tell you some stuff that's going on there with, you know, and it happened in Trinity, actually. But, Derek is, he's, from what I know, because other people might have their own experience, but from what my dealings with Derek, dude, is all about integrity, and that's what I thought the league was about until I got in it. And
well,
and people tried to peel me, and then the peels all backfire. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
I mean, obviously you have to have integrity, but isn't the most important goal inside that league is to make your team the best it possibly can be?
But can't you do that the way I'm building my team? I'm doing that and still have integrity.
See, like, the fact that Derek says, nah, man, Boyd's going to be beast keep. I'm like, dude, like, I would never, like, I'm just saying, I would never do it. Like, there's so much respect to Derek for, like, saying that, because if I'm trying to get a player from you, I'm not going to be like, yo, you should keep him. I'm like, yo, give him to me because I want him, you know?
But let me give you a little backstory, too. So, during this, my team was, like, so garbage, it was ridiculous. Like, the team I have now is bad, but it's a lot of, I don't want to say it's bad. My team has a lot of potential. I actually like my team. But during the season, my team, it was like, it was so bad. I put out a post where it was like a homeless guy talking about, like, take anything you can offer. And I'm like, man, I see you guys, because everyone have all these best, like, really good players on the bench. So I was like, let me get some of these bench players at least, bro. Like, my team is garbage. Because, like I said, when I started, I only had Cam Newton, Jay Ajayi, and I think that's pretty much it. So I traded those and got picks and stuff like that. So I was working with nothing. And at the time, Baker wasn't a starter yet. Aaron Jones was suspended, I think, at the time. So my team was really bad. Mm-hmm. So I put that thing out. And I'm not going to lie, it made me feel good, because a lot of people from Matrix, like, reached out and was like, okay, let's make some trades. And I started getting some, you know, whatever. I was trying to give whatever I could to make the deal kind of even, because I'm not about peeling people. So when I tried to trade Derek Boyd, I forgot what I traded him for, though. But he was like, nah, keep him, because, and I was like, okay, I like this dude, you know what I mean? So, but then I got another offer for him, and I got some picks and stuff like that. So I feel bad about that with Derek, but other than that, man, like, and I do appreciate, it was like maybe 5 or 6 people that reached out and helped me, you know, build my roster out a little bit with their bench players. You know, it was nothing too serious, but people did reach out. But other than that, I do see a lot of peeling. I do see some collusion. I do see the alliances, you know what I mean? So it's good that you're doing this, because you get a first, before you even start, you get to see what it's really about. Because I came in, like, after the trade, I mean, after the draft and everything, so I came in kind of late.
So can you give me, like, a top three in terms of, like, guys to watch out for in terms of the pills, Matrix?
You got to watch out for, I don't know if Aaron really doing the pills too much anymore, but I'm going to put 3 people in the, like, for my experience. So Aaron, Sanders, Rabbi, and Mike, yeah. MDOT. I spent maybe 6 hours going back and forth with Rabbi about some players, bro. And at the end of the day, we didn't make a trade. We didn't pull a trigger or anything, but we were going back and forth. He wasn't showing no love. I'm like, bro, I have nothing. Like, just give me, your team is dope. Just give me, like, a player so I can at least be competitive a little bit, bro. And it was, they wasn't having it at all. There's no, like, sympathy. There's no,
this is fantasy football, man. It's hardcore.
But you got to think, like, if anyone should deserve any sympathy, is my team. Like, I thought the worst team you can, like, get, yeah, like, ever. Like, I'm telling you, the only 2 players was Cam Newton and Jay Ajayi. It was crazy. Like, those are the only 2 players I had. So where I'm at now, it's like a miracle, and it's not even nowhere near where I want to be. So
yeah, I got you, bro. That's good stuff, man. I mean, props to you for building that out. I'm excited to see the journey that your team goes on. It's funny that you mentioned the top 3 guys that are eating pills. Well, aren't those some of the best teams inside Matrix?
Absolutely, because people were, like, buying those pills. And I think the GM that I took over for, I don't know if he wasn't playing or if he was on auto draft, or it looked like he didn't know what he was doing. Like something was wrong there because the team was deprived of any good players. I don't know what he was doing. So I don't know if he made those trades with those guys earlier and just, I don't know what happened, but that team was so deprived it was ridiculous.
Wow. Well, I would love to see it before. Did you take a screenshot of your team before?
I did not, but I can try to figure out. I think I can look on MFL and see who was on there. But like I said, it was pretty much. Wait, who's the receiver? I always forget his fucking name now. Dude from Dallas already throwing to the X.
Oh, Dez Bryant.
So I had Dez Bryant, and I had the tight end from the Panthers. What's his name?
Olsen.
Yes. So those are the only four players I had. And then I also had James Washington. That's the only person he drafted that was any good. And something happened, too. In the draft, he picked up the GM before me, picked up Penny. And for some reason, he ended up on someone else's team. And there was some controversy. I don't know all the details behind that. I think you should. You really need to interview Derek. I know Derek is low key right now, but I really want to hear that interview. And you could bring up a lot of the controversies and all that stuff that happened within the league, because there's some people who left because of like some Trump stuff. It's a lot of stuff on the Matrix. Yeah, it's some stuff you need to talk to Derek about, man. So
yeah, no, I definitely plans to get Derek on soon so we can chat some things out, because there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I also want to hear a side to a lot of the things that are going on in Matrix, because you know, as a commish, you have a whole different viewpoint than the rest of the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to hear what he has to say about all these different things about, because his buddy, Bruce, took over for a team. I think that's the guy who had, like, some Trump stuff going on, and the people got, like, Matrix. You see how they're going with Yada. You see how they went on Yada. So they got this other guy out pretty much the same way, I'm assuming. And then the guy that I took over for, I don't know that story either. I just know that he sucked. Like, he was the worst GM ever.
Oh, man. All right, so talk to me a little bit about AK. I know there's a little bit you want to talk about there as far as...
AK, man, AK. So another time, I'm listening to the podcast, enjoying myself. And then my name pops up, and AK just, like, says, he gives you the worst interpretation of what occurred with our dealings. So, we had a deal on the table for Jay Ajayi. Taking account, I don't even like Jay Ajayi. Like, he's injury prone. He's just, like, he sucks. I don't know. I was in an act of, like, I don't know. I wasn't all there mentally, I guess, because no one was really trading with me, and I'm just trying to make my team better as much as I can by any means. So I was going to make this garbage deal with him, and he got greedy. He got greedy, and he started trying to add too much stuff, and he did. And I don't know, I was sleepy or whatever. I just like, whatever, let's do it. When he posted up our... You can tell I didn't really like that deal when we posted it, when in our text or whatever, when he posted it. So, a couple days later, I'm like, bro, I can't go through with this deal. That's just going to hinder my team for, like, years to come. And we're in the offseason. So, every deal is in principle right now. I mean, I'm trying not to back out of any deals, but, like, if something is bad... Let me take this back. So this is where AK messed up. If you're going to try to pill someone, you need to pill them like right before the deadline, or right before this. Like, you got to do it and click and make it official right away. You can't pill someone and give them enough time to think about it. So that's where he messed up, actually. But so I thought Jay Ajayi was going to get picked up by Indy, and we both talked about that. So he understood that, like, hey, Indy, this is going to go through. Maybe I should have made it more clear, like, hey, if it doesn't go through, the deal is off. But Jay Ajayi, it didn't go through, and he still doesn't have a team today. So yeah. It's like, it was actually a good thing I didn't go through with that deal, because, like I said, giving him all those picks and everything, that would have hindered my team for years to come, and I'm not trying to pay $300 a year to like be last. You know what I mean?
This ain't charity. This ain't charity.
It's not at all, bro. Especially coming from me. I'm all about business and I'm about investments and I like making money. And to me, I'm trying to get this money, man. It's a nice little pot at the end of the rainbow and matrix.
Do you feel you backing out of that trade will hinder your trade abilities with other partners in the quote-unquote tampering period in future years?
I mean, I really hope it doesn't, because I've experienced so much dumb shit in Guru Nation already with trades. And just little stuff like this. So, I don't know if you heard about the story, but at the beginning of last year, me and AK made, again, AK was the first person to reach out, trying to make a deal. So we made this deal. The season is going now, and we transferred everything from MFL over to Yahoo. And I'm like, okay, I need my picks because I'm trying to make other moves. At the time, I didn't know that the second round pick that he owed me, the one that he had on his roster, wasn't mine. So when I reached out, I'm like, I see a second round pick. I'm trying to get my pick. He approved the trade and didn't say like, hey, Major, this is not your pick. I have to get it from someone else, blah, blah, blah. I'm cool. I'm like, okay, just get my pick and we'll do it at that time. So he didn't do that. The trade goes through and it causes big controversy. I think AK just liked the controversy. I think he likes doing stupid shit just to do it on purpose. Because to me, that was an easy fix. Hey, Major, I don't have my pick. Let me get the pick from him and I'll get it for you. Okay, great. But he didn't do that, and he accepted the trade. It went through, became this big thing, and he's blaming me for it because he said, like, I reached out to grab the pick. I'm like, you owe me a second. You have a second. Like, that's mine. From, you know, if you, that's your job to handle your trades and finalize all your trades. But that's just one thing. Another thing happened in Trinity where I made a trade, and it was an official trade. The trade went through and everything, and then the GM hit me up later and said, hey, I feel like I didn't get enough for this pick. I mean, for this trade, you think you could, like, shoot me a couple more picks or something? And me being a nice guy, I did it.
No.
So, like, I'm really about being fair. I'm not about the pills. I'm not about the, you know, I want everyone to walk away feeling good about the deal. So I got too greedy. I didn't feel comfortable. Like, I have a couple of deals with you on the table right now, and nothing's gone wrong with that. I have a deal with now, nothing's going on with that. I have a lot of trades on the table, and the only one that went awry was the one with AK, and he said I simply went to him and tried to renegotiate, like, hey, he didn't sign with Indy. I think I'm giving up too much. Let's talk about this, see what we can come out, what we can do. And he was like, well, if you want to change B, that means you're trying to get out the deal. So there's no renegotiation. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm out the deal then. So instead of being a business person and just trying to renegotiate, he just exploded the whole deal. And then he goes online and does it to everyone else. So I'm like, what kind of logic is that? That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned it to him. I was like, yeah, it's like your brother punches you in the face, and then you just punch your other brother in the face. It's like,
yeah, it makes no sense. And I told him at the time, I'm like, so you're going to do that to Dalton? Like, because you guys had a couple deals.
And yeah, we had two deals, and they were big deals, too. And it's like, some of my deals that I made were based off the fact, like, I had this kind of, like, rebuilding team going. And
yeah,
it affects how I do my trades. I mean, I'm obviously not going to really worry about it too much, because at the end of the day, like you said, it is unofficial, but, like, you know, like, hopefully those trades, when it becomes official, are things that do go through. But if not, then I move on, I do my thing. But I don't know.
Absolutely. But yeah, and that's another thing, like, with our deal, we had something going on which had one of his picks involved in it.
Yeah.
But instead of being like, yo, let's blow this up, you was like, hey, let's do this other, I got this other pick, which I think is probably a worse pick.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever, fine, let's do it, because I want everyone to walk away feeling,
yeah,
like,
exactly,
we both I'm not trying to peel anyone. It's not about that with me. I'm trying to have some integrity here with the deal. So the lesson in all this is, like, if you want to peel someone, don't give them time to think about it. Like, get it done right away. If you're going to try to rob somebody, go ahead and, like, pull the gun out and get what you're going to get, instead of, like, telling them, hey, I'm going to rob you soon. Here I come. Oh, I'm going to rob you now. Like, that's not how you peel someone. That's not how you rob somebody. That's pretty much it with AK. It wasn't what he made it. He made it out like I called him, was like, yo, the deal is off. I have something else on the table. I would never do that. What I did was, from something happening with that player, that was a major thing. We thought he was going to get signed, and he didn't get signed. So it was like, yo, I'm still down to do the deal. Mm-hmm. Let's just renegotiate. Give me, like, one of the picks back. I told him I couldn't do it for the first next year.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, if you're going to do it, that's going to blow up the whole deal. I'm like, well, let's blow it up, because if you want to be childish, like, I can be childish too. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a grown-up and renegotiate and be logical, I can do that all day.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you guys, agreed beforehand that there was, like, conditional things about it, like, oh, if he goes to a certain team, then, like, I'll give it this
pick. That's where I think the miscommunication happened, because that's what, we were talking about that, but I never made it, like, concrete. So I don't hold him responsible fully, but, again, have a heart, bro. Like, I've done it, like, several times in the league already. Maybe those guys are peeling me, but I don't know. I think there's so many players in the league, bro. You can like, get a good team without, like, fucking someone over.
Yeah, I see that. I see that perspective. 100%, man. I know this was a couple of weeks back, but you had gone live and you had talked about trying to build a network inside of GM, you know, doing some things outside of the nation, which I thought was a really cool idea, because it's not something, I mean, obviously everyone is, like, friends with each other, like, outside of here, and they do their own things, but, like, to get a network together and really start to, like, build together, I think that's something that we really haven't seen yet, so I kind of like that idea from it. Like, what were your whole thoughts behind it?
My number one thing was, like, everyone was, like, going in on these memes with Yada about $300, and it was kind of making me upset, because I'm like, bro, $300 ain't shit. Like, we should be talking about, like, how can we make $300 instead of, like, clowning someone because they had an issue and they couldn't pay it. And I think, I don't know if it was Jod or someone was like, I think Zach or someone works at, like, In-N-Out or something like that, and they tried to, like, make someone feel bad about working at In-N-Out. I'm like, this shit is stupid. I'm like, why not find a way to put money together and fucking buy the guy In-N-Out so he can be the owner of In-N-Out? Like, it's not that hard. Like, we can do so many things to, like, help each other out. And I think, I still feel like I'm a newcomer here. A lot of these guys have known each other for a long time. So I was really wanting to get the contact sheet so I can have everyone's phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So I can reach out directly and get some collusion going with some other people. I can't collude through, like, a DM, because the receipts are, like, crazy out here. So that was my main thing. But then I went up on a tangent, because the whole money thing is kind of really made me feel a certain kind of way, because we have so many people in this league, young professionals, people trying to make it. I'm like, why not? And Derek, like I said, Derek, to me, I really like that dude. I like the way, I don't know him too well, but from what he puts out on the internet and stuff like that, I was like, why not all put some money together and, like, give it to him and see what we can do with it? If not, like, it's an investment. Sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose. And if that doesn't work, we put our money together and do something else. And like I said, try to buy a franchise or buy a fucking sports bar so we can have our drafts and stuff at the sports bar. So many things we can do with the amount of people we have in this league. To me, it makes no sense to, like, clown each other over what we don't have, where we could find a way to, like, come together and make a lot of things that we can all have together. So to me, that's what the main thing was, what it was for. I think Joe, Commissioner Joe, I fucking hate that shit. Fucking Commissioner Joe made a post saying, like, I don't want this to be a business and all this other stuff. I'm like, this dude is so smart, he's stupid. Like, sometimes you can be so smart that you're dumb, you know what I mean? And I think he's young, but I do understand he's a really intelligent person, and I see that the way he communicates and the way he moves in the nation. I know he's an intelligent person, but sometimes you can be too smart for your own good. Like, he was trying to make it seem like I was trying to do some kind of pyramid scheme or do some kind of, like, crazy, I don't know, some kind of scheme or something, but that wasn't the case at all. I really wanted to make a contact sheet so we all can just kind of communicate with each other and know what each other do. Like, I know you have some investments and stuff that you do, and we're talking about, I'm like, okay, we can, like, figure that out. So that's one thing we can do together. But the only reason I know that is because I talk to you outside of the shit. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
That's all I tried to do. Like, I found out someone's an accountant. I need an accountant. I know AK is in a, he's a pothead, and he knows a lot about marijuana. And in L.A., marijuana is a $1 trillion business. So if I need any help with that, I can, like, yo, AK, let's talk about this marijuana stuff. So that's all I really wanted to do. I wasn't trying to take people money and run off. And the funny thing, I was trying to get the money and give it to his brother so we can do something. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know what that post really came from. To me, I don't know if I read it wrong or if I misunderstood it, but it had a lot of passive-aggressive undertones to it, and I didn't really appreciate that because I was like, I was just trying to do something good. I mean, Guru Nation is good for the world star type shit. I'm like, when we try to do something positive, it's like crickets, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think like, I'm not going to speak for him because I honestly don't know where he's come from, but maybe he was saying, like, he doesn't want it, like, on the page. Like, it's a fantasy football page, just strictly be a fantasy football. And, yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, the whole page should be strictly fantasy football. But that doesn't mean that outside of it, we can't have a way to communicate with each other and, you know, build things on the side. Because at the end of the day, like, we're all brothers. Like, we're all, like,
it's absolutely all love. Like, and that's the thing I was really trying to get at is more so, like, the brotherhood. I'm like, how can you be my brother and I don't have your phone number? Like, and I don't know what you do. I don't know what city you live in.
Yeah.
So that's where I was really trying to get to. But then, like, all the money stuff got in the way because that was really weighing heavy on me. Because, one, Yada is the homie. And, two, is like, I'm like, $300, bro? Like, we clowning someone over $300. Like, that's, I mean, I'm not a millionaire or nothing, but $300 is nothing. Like, but I'm like, if we all put $300 in and do something else, we can, like, if we all put $300 in and bought some season tickets or something for the Raiders, say.
Yeah.
Like, now we're doing something. You can't clown somebody because now we're making money.
Yeah.
All of our fees are paid. Everything is good. But I think, you know, world star, I mean, that's what society is, bro. And GN, I always say it, GN is a perfect, like, microscope of what society really is, man. You have Republicans in here that they don't even know they're Republicans, and you have, like, liberals like myself in here where I'm like, no, everyone should have a good chance to win, everyone should be equal. And you have people like Spitta who's trying to, like, kill people and get over on people, and that's like a Republican move, you know what I mean? So a lot of his views were Republican in this thing, but people don't even know it. They're probably all liberals, but they don't know inside a group of nation you're actually a Republican with your views on how people should, how teams are ran and everything.
Yeah, it's like a big, like you said, like, GN is everything, man. It has, like you said, any part of, like, a social society, I feel like we have all different parts of it. We have everything that you can have and just meshed into one. GN.
Honestly, and it was really exposed during the election period that we had. Just the way people voted, like, honestly, we were more the liberal side, and Spitta was the way he ran it was more so the Trump way of running a campaign, and he actually won off of that. Same, like I said, it's a microcosm of what society is inside of our nation. I think it's a perfect name because it's really a nation, and I don't know what people you know, where they lean politically outside of this, but inside you have the haves and the have nots, and the people who have, they're more like trying to keep it, like Republicans are trying to do. And then you have the people trying to come up, like myself and your team, and this more liberal, where it's like we're trying to get in by any means necessary without like fucking people over. But I don't know, dude. That's just, it's really funny to look back. Like, if you look at it from that point of view, it's really funny.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's so many different things, like life lessons that I just see just splurge energy. You know, you have the beef. There's always beef somewhere with someone. You got beef in here. You got, I mean, anything you imagine, it's all in here. And I think that's what makes GN so great. Like, the fact that, like, we're allowed to do this stuff. We're, like, all just, like, here having a good time and just enjoying the fact that we can all laugh at Yada and Bear just, like, going at it, even if, like, I don't have a side on either of it. Like, I like Bear, I like Yada, but, like, this whole thing is just so funny to me. Like, I enjoy the whole aspect of it. And any beef, Nihal, AK, I love them both. Seeing them go at it, it's just, it's funny, man. Like, it's,
with both those scenarios, it got kind of, I enjoyed it at the beginning, but then it just got a little oversaturated.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was too much. I think it was better when Bear was hitting them, like, out of the blue. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
But it was, like, every single day, like, four times a day, I had to, like, I kind of stepped away from the nation for a while. Like, I would scroll through, but I really wasn't engaging as much as I was. Just because I just got a little... It got a little too much. It was a little too world star for me. I'm not a world star type of person, you know what I mean?
I got you. Yeah, the moment they went live together, that's when shit hit the fan.
That was classy. But after that, like, Bear hit him with a couple of good ones, and he's good at that shit, dude. Like,
oh my god, he's so funny.
I don't want no funk with Bear, because he'll make me try to bring up my A game. But he's good at this shit. He's good at the roast. And he make that. I'm telling you, Yada's my dude, and he makes me laugh at my boy. That's how funny that shit is. But it was a little too much, like one after the other, after. Like, it was just like coming too quick. I think you need to spread out a little bit more.
Yeah, bro, I got you. It's a lot, and I feel like it's slowing down a little now. Hopefully. I mean, there's still a lot of, you know, beef there between those two, but hopefully it gets to a point where it's not, you know, just overflowing everything right now.
And I don't recall, but when you spoke to him, did he say, what's the end game? What's the end game of this thing?
So what he told me was he would stop if Yada manned up and apologized for, you know, not paying his dues and everything. So, and he even posted about it. He said, he's like, if you just apologize about it, like, I'm done. But then Yada's like, nah, it's gone too far now, so.
But I think, with that, because I think I did hear that in your interview with him. Yada, from my understanding, I thought it was all paid off now.
It is.
Okay, so it's paid off. He apologized. Like, what else do you want from the guy? Like, I don't know what it should
be. Doesn't think it's authentic because of the fact that he was, like, making excuses in the middle of it instead of just, like, completely taking ownership for it. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's repairable between those two.
I do believe in a brotherhood. I do believe in, like, I think we have a good opportunity for this group of people to become a brotherhood if it's not already. I think, like, kicking someone when they're down is not the best. It's not the way to go. Yes, some of that shit is entertaining, but I don't know. To me, I'm about, like, uplifting, man. I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to make it to where we all have enough money to, like, get all our fees and all that shit done without any problems, you know what I mean? True. Shit happens. People get laid off. People have deaths. People have kids. People have real life shit sometimes that happens, but it's no excuse to not pay your fees and everything, but we should all have a little bit more understanding when shit does happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel that, man. Definitely a lot that we can learn about the situation, and hopefully Hopefully it doesn't go too far. That's all I'm hoping. I hope it doesn't go too far.
I don't know. I think Yada's about to.
I know.
Yada, everyone's laughing except for Yada.
I know. I'm pushing for a set up boxing match between those two. They settle their differences there. After that's over, it's over. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
I love that idea.
I think it's funny. People pay for it. I mean, I would pay to see that. I mean, yo, that would be gold. That would be gold.
No,
right.
But I think to me, if you're going to do it, it got to be some kind of end game. If the end game is to get him out of Guru Nation, that's one thing. Or if the end game is to give him to pay his fees and apologize and all that stuff, I think he did that already. So at this point, I think it's just a little overkill.
I got you. All right, moving on a little bit. I know we have this is obviously a Trinity episode, so we got to touch on some updates. There have been some things going on in Trinity where it's been pretty active. There's been a couple trades already gone down already. First one was a trade that you had made. You made this with Kenny, and you traded the 13th pick in the draft for Tyrell Williams in a 4th-round pick. What were your thoughts behind this trade?
Juju, point blank period. I'm thinking Tyrell is going to be the Juju to AB in the nation, the Raider Nation. So hopefully that comes true and I can capitalize on that, because even with AB on the team, he leaves enough. I mean, he eats a lot of coverage up. So a lot of double teams, a lot of triple teams. So whoever's on the other side, whoever playing opposite of AB is actually in line to get fed. And from Tyrell's time in LA or San Diego, whatever we want to call it, I think he had the most yards per reception, if I'm not mistaken. So he eats up a lot of yardage, and I like that about that. So with AB clearing out that space, to me that leaves a lot of room for those big touchdowns, those bonus points touchdowns that I like.
Yeah, he's a really efficient receiver, at least last year for the Chargers there. But he's going to get a downgrade at quarterback going from Rivers to Derek Carr. And there's the potential that...
I don't know if that's a downgrade, man. People thinking Carr... It was a lot of injuries and stuff with the Raiders the last couple of years, especially in a receiver core. So I don't think... I think Carr still has that... He was an MVP candidate, 2 years ago? It wasn't that long ago. So I think he still has that in him. And with AB on the team, I'm telling you, he's going to take a lot of attention to make. There's going to be a lot of open receivers in the Raiders' secondary.
So the Raiders have 4 of the top 35 picks, if I'm not mistaken. And this is one of the better wide receiver classes we've seen in some time. Are you worried at all that the Raiders draft a wide receiver with one of those picks?
I don't know. Not at all, because... I don't think they're going to use any early picks on that, because they need to. The thing I'm worried about, because I put a lot of investment in the Chris Warren, the third, on. I have him in all 3 of the leagues that I'm in, and I'm hoping they don't get a running back. I know they picked up, what's the kid's name from the Jets?
Crowell?
Yeah, they picked up Crowell, I can't say his name, but I'm not threatened by him too much. I just hope they don't really pick up anyone in the draft. But receiver-wise, I think they picked up all these receivers via free agency so they can focus more so on their defense. I think they're going to spend a lot of draft picks on defense and O-line.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening 100% with those picks. But there's always that possibility that, you know, they go ahead and get a wide receiver they like.
I'm also hearing through the grapevine that the Raiders are thinking about trading up to get Kyler.
Oh man.
And then they're trading Carr, and then trading Carr to Washington. So I'm hearing stuff like that.
Wow, that's a lot to digest there. That's a lot. That would be a franchise changing move. And there's still so much that can happen to me now in the draft. I think the draft's now roughly, gosh, was it two weeks away, man? That's crazy. So we're 2 weeks away from the draft. A lot's going on. There's a lot of smoke saying that Kyler Murray's going to go to the Cardinals. But Cardinals also, it doesn't seem like they're officially in on Murray. At least publicly, they haven't stated or made any indications that they're in on Murray. They haven't traded Rosen. Rosen showed up to workouts today. He was the first person in the building today. So,
but that's all. I'm a conspiracy theorist, so this I'm giving you the behind the scenes. So Josh Rosen had to do that, so he looks like a franchise quarterback. He looks at someone's like, if he set out and pouted and did all this other shit, demanding trades, that's going to affect their, it's going to affect his value when they're trying to deal him off to someone else. So he has to go in there, play the game, say all the right things. But they're all in, dude. Like, every scout, every correspondent, every reporter is talking about Kyler's going number one. Yeah. So I think it's pretty much a done deal. I think they're just trying to get more. They're trying to get the most they can get for Rosen at this point, I think. And I think they're only getting a second-round pick right now. So they're trying to get that up to a first-round pick. And I think if they hold off longer into the draft, I think they will be able to get, like, maybe a late first round for him.
Hopefully, man. I'm not on board with trading for a second. In fact, if you're getting a second round pick for Rosen, might as well just keep the dude. You're paying him roughly $3 million a year to be a backup quarterback, which is super cheap. He's young. He's on a rookie deal. He still has a lot to prove. So, like, he's going to get work in preseason. Let's say he balls out in preseason. His value is now shot up immensely.
Absolutely.
I don't think
he was really that bad last season. He had a lot of injuries with the receivers, so that's going to affect any young quarterback. But the plays that he did make, he made some really big plays.
Yeah, it was a really tough scenario for him to be in where everything basically went wrong. Play calling was terrible. Yeah. Weapons around him were terrible because the guys got hurt. O-line was worst in the league. Like, when you're a rookie quarterback, really any rookie quarterback put in that position they're not set up to succeed. You really have to do a lot.
Yeah, with a rookie quarterback, the two things that's going to help a rookie quarterback is, one, your running back, and Johnson had a down year because of the O-line suck, and two, was a tight end, and they had injuries and inefficient play in the tight end position. So I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, I think getting another wide receiver will really help them. A guy like, you know, Dak Prescott got with the Cowboys. They got Amari Cooper. Yeah. And that's a big, I mean, getting Amari Cooper, that's such a big move. And Miguel thought it was such a big move. And he saw a lot from Amari at the end of last year where he made a huge blockbuster trade in San Trinity. Like, this is a huge trade. Like, this kind of came out of nowhere. Miguel, he has the first overall pick in the draft.
Yes.
He traded the first overall pick in the draft. He traded the first pick in the second round. And he traded his first-round pick in 2020 for Amari Cooper and a third-round pick. Like, when you see that, what do you think?
I think, like, why can't I get these type of deals? Like, what? Like, who's, again, it goes back to my contact sheet. Like, who can I call to get these deals? Because I don't know how. I'm lost for words right now. I don't even know how you make that trade. I don't know how. So, okay, let's do the comparison. So, Amari Cooper versus, let's say, who's looking like the first overall? Henry right now?
Could be Harry, yeah.
Harry, my bad. Harry. And second round, number one pick, most likely you may get one of the top, like, five running backs or one of the top three tight ends. So, you think that's worth Amari? Like, that's crazy to me.
And you're getting his first round pick next year.
And that's too much. I don't think.
I thought he gave up a lot. To be honest, I thought he gave up a lot, and
I think he gave up way too much. But he has a lot of picks. I don't know if he really does. He have a lot of picks.
Josh does now. Miguel doesn't really. Miguel doesn't have any anymore because he had three first round picks. He had the first overall pick. He had the eighth pick. And he had the 12th pick. He traded the eighth and the 12th pick for AB. And you trade the first overall pick for Amari. So, when you look at Miguel's team on paper, it's really good now. Like to be honest, Miguel probably has top five team in Trinity now. I believe his quarterback is Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton. Those are two good quarterbacks. He has Saquon Barkley. Can't remember who his second running back is, but I know he has wide receivers. He has A.B., Kittle, Pettis. At tight end, he has... or did I say Kittle? No, he has Amari, A.B., and then at tight end, he has Kittle. So his team, like, is really strong in a sense. We're giving up that first-round pick next year. It's showing... He's essentially sending a message to GN. Hey, guys, I'm here to play this year. I'm trying to go and go from worst to a playoff team and have a chance to win a title. So... I like the confidence. I mean,
to play devil's advocate, from his point of view, I do see where he's like, you have to hit on those picks at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So he's getting proven commodities for players that doesn't even have a team yet. So, but I still think he did it. If he did it like during the draft or right before the draft, I would say, okay, I get it. But I think he did it a little too early. Because the reason you do trades early is getting while the prices are low. And he paid premium prices for something he could have got for way cheaper.
Yeah, I feel like having that first-round pick, you would have been able to get another top asset as well. If you're looking for a top wide receiver, like you can. I feel like there are enough parties that are interested where you can get good value with that number one overall pick.
Yeah, I would have put a trigger on a deal if it was a running back. Because those are kind of hard to come by, and this draft doesn't really have too many running backs. This draft has a ton of receivers. I think a lot of these receivers are going to be pretty good really fast. So if it was a running back, I think it would have been like an okay deal. But just because it was a receiver, it was like, you could have got another Amari Cooper in the draft, you know?
Yeah, potentially, 100%. Now, let's talk about Josh's team. I know, so he makes a deal now. Josh is like, when you look at Josh's team, it's a solid squad. And then you look at the picks he has. Josh, I don't think anyone inside... I want to say this. I think Josh is the best-kept secret inside Guru Nation. I don't think anyone really... I don't think anyone really knows what's going on with him.
Like, didn't no I say one, he was going to be on a come-up? Didn't I say on our last one we talked about it, I thought he was one of the people... Or did I say Miguel?
No, I mean... Josh is the best-kept secret inside Guru Nation because nobody knows... what he's building. If you're in Trinity and you look at his, you know what he's building. And I think that he potentially could have the most dominant team inside Guru Nation 3 to 4 years from now. The most dominant team in all of Guru Nation.
That's too long. I think it's going to be a lot sooner than that.
Well, he has all these picks. He has to wait for these picks to develop.
I think he's going to flip some of these picks, dude.
I think so, too. But here's where Josh is right now. Josh has Chubb. He has Brandon Cooks. He has Allen Robinson. He had Amari Cooper. He has Andrew Luck. He has Dallas Goedert. He has Christian Kirk. He has a bunch of these good young assets. And then, hold up. He has the first overall pick in the draft. Second overall pick in the draft. Third overall pick in the draft. Fifth overall pick in the draft. And that's just off the top of my head. I know he has... I think he has 3 to 4 more first-round picks in this draft. And I don't know exactly where they are. But this dude has, like, 7 first-round picks. He has, like, 4 second-round picks in this draft. And then he has 5 first-round picks next year. So
how do you get all these picks? Because, like, I know a lot of people don't value picks because you have to hit on the picks.
Yeah.
But when I'm reaching out to people... I'm not getting that same love. I'm like, I don't understand that part.
So looking at Josh's team from last year on his draft, he drafted very well. Like, he drafted really well. He was drafting Ebron in, like, the 14th round. I think he traded him to you, right, for a first-round pick? Or he traded him to York or somewhere?
Yeah, I think he traded to York for a first, and then York traded to me for...
Yeah, so he traded Ebron, and... He sold a couple guys, like, undervalued, but he was able to get picks. Like, he sold Aaron Jones for a first-round pick before he went off. And he sold, I mean, he traded, I'm just looking at it right now. He traded Travis Kelce for Evan Ingram and a first round pick. So like he's downgrading at tight end, but he gets a first round pick there. And then he trades off the top of my head, what else did he do? But he's making all these trades where he's like downgrading at a certain position to get extra value. And he made some really good moves just all year just to get these trades going and really develop his team there. So props to him. I'm really curious to see what he has with those picks. Like you said, I think having four of the top five picks gives you so much leverage. Like, if anyone's trying to trade up, they're going through him. Like, and he can set the price on it. He can set the price on it and be like, yo, you're going to have to pay this. And whoever the buyer is can't really go to anyone else and try and find a cheaper price because he's the one that monopolizes those picks. Now, here's where I am. I'm sitting at the fourth pick. So I'm the only one that is that kind of middle ground between those top five picks. So, and I offered him a deal. I offered him a deal where he would be able to have those top five picks. I offered him the fourth overall pick for Andrew Luck. And he wanted a little more, and I told him I couldn't do that. But
during the season, I tried to trade with him. I tried to give him my first round pick, and he didn't want it because it was like a low pick because the team was good. So he had a plan, and he stuck to it. So I commend him on that.
He has a plan, and he's really doing a ton there to really build that team. So really keep an eye on Josh.
How did you get the fourth pick? And you scored the most points in a fucking league. What is going on?
So during the draft, I had acquired a first round pick from. I traded back in the draft and I got a first round pick this year. So I traded back in the draft with I think I traded with David Brooks. I got his first round pick when I moved back, and then I traded away my own first round pick to Miguel. Or no, I traded my first round pick to you, and then you traded it to Miguel. But anyways, so I only kept one pick, and it was David's pick. And I thought his team was solid, but it didn't really have much depth. And he had a couple injuries, like he had Hunt, and then once Hunt went down, he had like no running back. So he ended up with the fourth worst record. So I ended up acquiring that pick there.
Nice.
So yeah, that was a. So that's hopefully gonna give me an asset to really make some moves over there. But there's one last trade I want to talk on, and it's actually the thing that I think triggered this whole Yada and Bear thing. I mean, I think it was something that really added some gasoline to the potential fire that was going to break out there. It was Kenny and Yada agreeing to a deal where he got the 12th overall pick in the draft for Randall Cobb.
Hey, you know, in Yada's defense, I'm seeing a lot of reports from the Cowboy Nation that they are really excited. Like, the coaching staff and everyone else is really excited about Randall Cobb joining the team. And they're saying if he can stay on the field and kind of get away from some of these injuries he's been having the past few years, he can have a really good year. So I see where he's coming from on that, but come on, dog.
Come on, man.
Come on, my guy. What's going on, bro? If anything, like, if you go throw away shit, like, collude with me. Like, I'm your boy. Like,
so you out here calling like people out for colluding in Matrix, but yet you trying to collude in Trinity.
I'm not trying to. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to throw something away, at least, like, reach out and be like, hey, I'm about to throw this away. You want it?
Yeah.
Like, let's do some of that. Like, that's...
But he has... He wanted Cobb. He wanted Cobb. So, I mean, unless you're getting Cobb, then he's throwing that first your way. So...
But again, I think Dallas really like him. And he has shown to be a really good receiver. And maybe Amari Cooper will take, you know, some double teams and stuff so he'll be open. And he's a slot master. He's like right under Edelman in the slot. So he has the opportunity to really do some, especially with like Deacon Dunk and Deacon Dak. Deacon Dak, I think he's going to have a lot of like 5-yard catches with the run after. So he could have a good year.
He could have a solid year, but I think the risk versus reward there is just like, it's not there. Like the value was the really value. Really off in my opinion. Yes. But yeah, man. I mean, if you like a guy, go ahead and get him. And he did that. So I guess we'll see what happens. I have a lot of doubts about it, but I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see.
I have my doubts too, but like I said, I listen to all the reporters from Dallas, and they seem to love him. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. They don't have too many receivers, so I mean, he's the number two option there right off the jump. So yeah, he could have a pretty good year.
That's true. I guess we'll see, man. I'm prepping for Trinity next year in Matrix. So I just got myself some Chipotle. So I'm definitely gonna go eat a burrito real quick. So I'm gonna hop off here, eat a burrito, cause you know I'm about to get a lot of burritos, and I just gotta make sure my stomach's ready for it. I gotta prep myself for these burritos that are coming this season. So. Major, it was awesome talking to you, my man. Appreciate you joining me. Good to kind of hear your side of the things, as well as talk a little bit Trinity. Looking forward to having you back on. I know you'll be back on soon in the next couple weeks here as we get closer to the draft and yes, a lot sir. More moves going down.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thank you always. And kudos on that segue from shit, what were we talking about? You had a good segue in there. Real listeners and no interviewing. You're going to recognize it and drop it in a comment or something. Dalton's good at this shit.
They see me rolling on that segue, bro. We out here. Peace, GN. We're out.
Adios. Adios.